Welcome to another post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Thursday, March 16th, 2023. The Hoosier bats came alive on Thursday afternoon. While only the second biggest inning of the day, the fireworks were in the bottom of the fourth inning when Brock Tibbetts, Carter Matheson, Matthew Ellis, Josh Pine, and Devin Taylor all hit home runs. Freshman Connor Foley was the winning pitcher in two innings of middle relief, and Ben Seiler earned his first save of the season, getting the final 12 outs, surrendering only a single walk and no hits in his four innings of work. After the game, the media spoke with head coach Jeff Mercer, and then also Pine and Ellis.
I felt like we've been really close, and you and I have talked about it. I feel like we've been really close. We're a good offense. And we've been good at starting innings. We haven't been good at finishing innings. We've pulled off the ball a little bit. We've been in between timing, and we've been working really hard before and after. And I thought yesterday we played really well. I thought we played really well. We were really close, and the conditions were right. It was a little bit of a windy day. We're pushing out a little bit, but I don't know if it really mattered. Those balls were hit really hard. The exciting thing is a lot of those balls were hit to the middle of the other way, and when your lefties are really staying on balls and driving balls. Those guys are so physical. Ellis and Carter and Devin Taylor, those guys are so physical and stay on balls like that. You know, it's really exciting to watch them go. And, you know, just being comfortable being out over the plate, being comfortable in the middle of the field, and then forcing somebody to land a fastball really in to beat you is where good offenses live. And we were good today. So, you know, that was kind of the culmination of, we've had some tough luck, you know, so you get some balls hard at guys. And I was just really happy for those guys to be able to kind of break through and then have, you know, a special inning. I mean, call it what it was. It was a special inning, and I was just really, really happy for them.
With your time here as well, just your entire career in the game, have you seen anything like five home runs in an inning?
No, I've never seen that before. Maybe, you know, two or three. I've seen that, but I've not seen five in an inning before, especially balls that were hit like hammered. You know, sometimes you see balls that are wind aided and it kind of blows them, but those balls were. Devin's home run to left went over the back wall of the bullpen. I mean, it was wind or not, that ball's getting out of here, and the rest of those balls were hammered. So, no, I've not seen that before, but those guys are really talented. I mean, it's a really talented offense. And you know, like I said, not to be redundant, but getting back home and having three or four days of practice, and you know, even though we've played, you know, we 9 games in 10 days, we've had a chance to get in here and work in the mornings, and we've had decent weather the last 2 days where guys can get in and hit on the field, which helps a ton, and we went today. It was really good.
Defensively, a really good performance. Tyler, in particular, had some pretty special things going on. That had to feel good to have a good defensive day.
We were terrific, especially kind of spin rain and the fast turf and those things. You know, just like anything else, it kind of comes in bunches, right? When Tyler makes a really good play, then it good plays begat good plays, and poor plays begat poor plays sometimes. So to kind of get a little bit of. I don't necessarily believe in momentum, but I believe in a little positive energy and a little confidence and a little karma. And yeah, we're built to play good defense. We should be able to play good defense. We're athletic enough. We're trained well enough to play good defense. And it obviously helps when you're at home and you know your own field a little bit better. But yeah, I was really pleased with the way we defended and the way we took care of the ball. And Tyler, you know, he's a special defender, and he made a couple great plays. And those are plays we're going to have to make.
With Braden, it wasn't necessarily a bad start by any means, but with that rain starting around the third, would you attribute maybe a little bit of that loss of command to the rain, or maybe their offense was a little picking up on him a little bit?
No, I really just think he has to be better from the stretch. You know, he's 94, 96 from the windup, and he's not holding his velo from the stretch. We have to make an adjustment with his ability to hold runners, but also, you know, he doesn't have to be a one flat to the plate and drop 5 miles an hour. And that's just a young guy. He's got to find a way to get down the mound and still have control of his arsenal. So you could see a clear line of delineation from when there was nobody on base to the first time a guy got on first base. And he was a different guy. But that's not abnormal. It's not abnormal for a young guy. Super talented. He's going to be great. He's going to be a starter. He just got to work his way through it. He hasn't dealt with a ton of base runners, which is a positive and a negative. You know, he hasn't dealt with it. And, okay, so today you went through it. All right, we'll live and learn and get better. And your bullpen this week, we're going to have to find a way to have elite stuff, which he has, from the stretch and being able to manage holding runners. And he's just going to have to work his way through it. But, yeah, the rain doesn't help. But the thing that I noticed immediately was from the stretch, a difference in stuff, a difference in tempo. He's cutting his fastball instead of sinking it. He's east and west instead of north and south. You know, normally with the sinker guy, I know it's east and west, but his misses are normally north and south, right? It's like sinker on the plate, sinker on the plate. You know, break ball may be up or down, but when you start seeing him cutting sinkers and being east and west, it's just from the stretch, he has to get better at that.
Kind of just with Braden and also Devin as well, it's kind of a question for the future where it seems kind of like an experiment with Devin. Is he a long-term three spot? And also with Braden, is he a guy that you envision as a weekend starter in conference play?
Yeah, I would say that both of those guys are gonna be there, you know, and until they play themselves in or out of that, right? They're certainly at this point they've played themselves into it. If they play themselves out of it, then obviously we have the talent and the ability to handle, you know, what may come. But you know, certainly Devin has, I think, earned his stripes a little bit offensively. And you know, once everybody kind of has a pitch plan and they know how to pitch and they'll find – everybody's got a weakness, you know, and I know right now he seems pretty bulletproof, but they'll find something and they'll get to it and we'll have to adjust. And but I would say he's earned his right to be in there. Where he hits the lineup, it may adjust, but for the foreseeable future, I would say he's earned his time in there. And then Reisdorf, I would say probably similarly. He's probably earned his rights to be in there. Now, he's going to have to clean that up with guys on base because no matter how good he is, there's going to be guys on base. So we're going to have to get that fixed pretty quick. But as long as he keeps going, I think that's probably a move for the future. And then I'll tell you what else I really liked. And I know the game was in hand, but it wasn't necessarily over when Ben Seiler came in. It was really nice to see him be 88 to 90. You know, he's been a starter and sometimes out of the starting role. You know, he'll be 84-86, and I think in the past it's hard to break that habit of I've got to go eight innings today. You know, I've got to go 125, 130 pitches and eight innings, and it's just like sometimes they kind of put the throttle on even when they're not trying to, and so it's like, hey, let's put him in the pen, and it's like I want every pitch to be – every fastball is 88 to 90. As long as you got it. Like, give me 88 to 90 as long as you got it, and when you're out of gas, we'll get you out of there. And he held it. He held it for quite a while and then was really good. So it would be – it would be a godsend for us to have a good lefty out of the pen besides Crafty, because to leave Crafty on the back end like that would be, I think, would be really beneficial. And to have a matchup lefty or a guy that can come in and kind of like today, give us some length. And I know the score got out of hand late, but when he was in there, it was still within reach, right? You know, a couple homer, walking a homer, and all of a sudden you get going a little bit. So he was, that was really nice to see because that was something that we had kind of kicked around. Could he just come in and kind of unload what he's got for as long as he's got. He did really well.
This is just a detail, but the infield fly play, what really happened, and did the runners make a mistake by trying to advance? Did they know what was going on?
So the umpires, and I know those guys really well, I'm not as high school, So they pointed it, but I didn't usually hear infield fly, the batter's out. And it's right on the edge. It, by definition, it's an infield fly. Because it's a play that's like within the infield area, but it was going to land in the outfield. And so it just being more vocal would have helped. And I don't want to throw anybody under the bus because they're great umpires, do a good job. They did point it out, but we just didn't hear. Normally you just hear infield fly, the batter's out, and then everybody kind of holds court or holds their position. And so when you didn't hear that, kind of all chaos broke out there. Then chaos ensued. And so, you know, I can't really be mad at the defenders, but the umpires, or I'm sorry, I can't be mad at the base runners, but the umpires did call it. It's just one of those things that I hope never happens again. And I'll be more adamant about, like, once I see the umpire's hand go up, that I'll yell infield fly and to hold your ground. That's a great question.
Yeah. I mean, that almost could have been the third out with that sort of miscommunication there. What does that sort of mean to Whitmore at State coming back in that, in the following inning? So what does it mean there for almost some string of clutch hits there.
It was. And that, you know, I gave Matt Ellis the player of the game. He slides off the inning with a base hit, hammers it, and then comes up. And we've done a good job of getting guys on, but I don't want to say we haven't been good with those big hits, with two out hits like that, but we've just kind of left some meat on the bone. And Matt came up and got it. It was full counts, two strikes, two outs, and bang, he hits that double down the line. And it was huge. It was huge for the offense to kind of see a guy step up and have a big hit and break it open. And you could kind of feel everybody relax, and then away you go. So, yeah, that could have been a really catastrophic situation where that inning never happens. And you don't have that big hit, and then all of a sudden it's a tie game. And, you know, now we got to use the bullpen differently. And just a lot of things could have gone sideways had that not gone our way. But it did, and, you know, we were able to kind of capitalize on it and have an awesome at-bat and break through. And, couldn't happen to a better guy with Matt. So I was really happy for him, too.
Guys ever in your playing careers seen something like five home runs in the same inning?
I don't think I have. I don't know either. That's pretty impressive. It was impressive all the way around. The offense had a pretty good mojo today, and it turned out to be a good day for us.
Matthew, you're looking at about at least three games where you've really been squaring the ball up well. What has changed for you since this last week?
You know, the start that I envisioned for those seasons, these first 30 at bats or whatever. But I was happy just because I had been working. You know, I changed a couple of things, kind of went back to some old habits that I had, and kind of knew what I was getting into. I was trying to cover a lot of different zones and stuff like that without having like a true identity, a true zone, that I really wanted to hammer. So we went back, watched a lot of video, and kind of just figured out, what side of the plate I'm going to really handle real well. And, the other side, I'm going to work the best I can with it and work to perfection today.
Josh, there's been some really good plays in the infield with your dive and catch, and also Tyler over at second. Seems like a pretty interesting infield dynamic, two sophomores, freshmen, and then, Phil as the older guy. What's it like so far in the season?
It's awesome. It's awesome. Phil's the leader for all of us, right? He's experienced. He's a really good player, so he took me under his belt last year, and he's taken Cerny under his belt this year. And so he's just a really good guy to have in the infield to coach you around, kind of help you. And Cerny's done a tremendous job over there this year. He's a really, really good player.
Matthew, we've noticed that both you and Pete have been noticeably more active in the framing work. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was talking to Pete about that the other day. I don't feel like there's a catching group that has worked harder than we have. We've done more stuff with Denton. And you throw Riley in that too, Riley Langerman, he catches, and then obviously Shepard before he got hurt, and Tibbetts as well. Mm-hmm. Tibbetts does more catching stuff than a lot of catchers do, and he doesn't even really catch for us. We really put an emphasis on that. That's one thing that we do here, and I think it'll be something that they do for a lot of years, is trying to help those pitchers out as much as we can. For me, obviously, that was one thing that I really wanted to work on this offseason, and I knew I needed to get a lot better at. So I probably put that at the forefront, put my hitting at the back burner. But obviously, it's just trying to get both work in and really take care of the pitchers.
12-2 at Kentucky, and then you come back with sort of that gritty win and then just absolutely unload on offense. What were sort of the team conversations like after that Kentucky game to come back and take the series?
Just short memory. It's time to go. We know what we can do offensively, and we really haven't done it to the best of our ability this year as a whole. And today, it's just – this weekend is really starting to click, it's just a short memory. You're going to lose some games in baseball. You're not going to hit 1,000. You're not going to win every single game. So it's just let it go and move on to the next day.
What can you take just out of a stretch of you're now on eight games in 9 days? You're about to do 9 out of 10. What either one of you? What are you guys going to take out of this particular experience?
I mean, it's just like the conference tournament. That's what we approached it like last week, and that's kind of what we did this week too. You've been there. You obviously seen there's a lot of games and a lot of days. That's kind of what we've been, approaching it at. It's a good time, and, seeing it well, if you're hitting it well, it's a good time to play baseball. Just get right back out there and get as many at-bats in as we can, and stuff seems to be going well for us.
Thank you for listening to this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. The Hoosiers go for the sweep against the Moorhead State Eagles at 4 p.m. on Friday, weather permitting. See you at the BART.